and give this to you. We've sung this morning, and so many songs have been sung about storms and unexpected storms and trials and difficulties. And there have been people come to the altar, wave after wave of people coming to the altar and facing battles and facing trials and facing difficulties. And none of us are exempt from that. I'll be honest with you, none of us are exempt from that. I sent a message to my family just this weekend and told my children and my wife that I felt like that the devil was attacking our home and fighting our home. And I really feel like that. I really do. And we're facing these things. And I want to just say something. I won't take more than 10 or 15 minutes. But I want to give you this thought. I feel like I have to do this. If you want to stand up with me, if you'll turn to the book of Ruth, in the first chapter, Ruth chapter number 1. Most of you know, and many of you were there, you know that I spoke at a marriage retreat this past weekend in Pigeon Forge. And I spoke to the room two nights in a row, a room full of couples, on the importance of putting God first in your marriage. Amen. And I pray that I said something that helped them. This morning, I want to do something that I've never done before. I want to share with you a principle that I shared with them. The thought that God has put on my heart for this morning is one that is not just good for marriages, but it's good for individuals, and it's good for churches, and it's good for all of us. The Bible says in Ruth chapter number 1, it said, "Now it came to pass," in the first verse, "and it came to pass when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Euphrates of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Father, I pray that you'd help me for just a minute. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. For those of you who were at the marriage retreat, you know what I'm going to say this morning. You've heard it before, but I feel like it's worth repeating. I want to show you just very quickly a family in Ruth chapter number 1, a family that I said, or that I presented to them, and I want to present to you. I want to show you a family that is missing God. This is a family that is faced with trials and faced with difficulties and faced with hardships, as we've talked about and as we've sung about. This was a family that made one of the worst decisions that they could ever make, a family that ran away from God. In fact, in the book of Ruth, we're presented with not only one family, but two families. We see the family of Elimelech and Naomi, and then later on in the book, we see the family of Boaz and Ruth. I don't have time to talk about Elimelech or Boaz and Ruth, but I do want to talk to you for just a minute about this family we read about in Ruth chapter number 1. The Bible begins by introducing us to a couple whose names are Elimelech and Naomi. The name Elimelech means "my God is king," and the name Naomi means "pleasant." This is a couple that seemingly at one time in their life were in church and were serving God and had everything figured out. He was letting God lead him. God was his king. She was good to be around. She was pleasant. I believe this was a godly man and this was a godly woman. They had a fine family. And seemingly on the surface, this was a couple that had it all figured out. This would be the typical couple that would be in your typical church on a typical Sunday morning. They would sit among you and they would smile the smile and they would say the right things and they would do the right things, and everybody would see them and shake hands with them and they would think everything was okay in their life. But in Ruth chapter 1, the Holy Ghost shines a heavenly spotlight into their home. And we see that everything is not all right. Everything is not as it seems. There is something below the surface that we could not see had it not been for the Holy Spirit showing it to us. There's trouble in their home. There's trouble in their marriage. And there's trouble in their lives. This is a couple that is facing something that nobody else saw, but the Holy Ghost saw it. And I'll say this morning as I move quickly along, there are people just like Elimelech and Naomi that are sitting in our average churches on our average Sundays that we would not know it, we would not see it, but they are facing things that, oh, the Holy Ghost sees and God sees. There's a trial below the surface that nobody else sees. I preached this message Friday night, and I'll be honest with you, as I stood before that congregation of couples to preach it, I thought to myself and I thought in my spirit, I have missed it tonight. There is no way that this message is fitting for this group of people. And after I got through preaching, the pastor, Brother Rusty, said, I wonder if there would be any marriages in the room as we bow our heads and close our eyes, that you would be willing to raise your hand and say, preacher, our marriage is on the brink of divorce this year. If God doesn't intervene, our home won't last another year. And there were hands went up all over the room of couples that said, this year might be our last year because the devil has fought our home. And can I say, it is not just marriages. It is individuals. It is church members. There are people that pulled up in the parking lot this Sunday, and they said in their spirit, this might be my last Sunday. This might be my last time. I don't know if I can make it another trip. I don't know if I can make it another day. They are facing battles and they are facing trials, and the devil is fighting us like he's never fought us before. Yes. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, there are people fighting battles. This family faced several different trials. Can I say quickly that they faced a crisis of finances? Oh, when the opening chapter begins, we see a sad situation. The Bible says that there is a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. This famine is so great that this family begins to wonder if they will be able to provide for their family, if they will be able to pay their bills, if they will be able to make it. There's a financial crisis that they're faced with. There's a federal crisis that they're faced with. This is the day, verse 1 says, in which the judges ruled. This was a dark hour and a dark day. Society had gone to hell. Society had gone the way of the world. They were living in a dark world when we read about them in chapter 1. They're facing a family crisis. The Bible says that their two children are Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means unhealthy and Chilion means puny. Their children are sick. Their finances are depleted. Their world is dark. They are facing crisis in their life. But most of all, they faced a faith crisis. The Bible says that they leave Bethlehem and they moved to Moab. They leave the place of bread and praise. That's what Bethlehem, Judah means. And they go to the garbage can. That's what Moab means. They leave the place where God had put them and they go to the world because of the difficulty that's in their life. Oh, let me say this, and I'll give you my two thoughts, and I'll try not to take much more time. There are going to be times in all of our lives that we face crisis. Yes. There are going to be financial difficulties. There are going to be societal difficulties. There are going to be family difficulties. It is part of life, and you cannot avoid it. Amen. Job said, man is born of a woman a few days and he's full of troubles. Yes. I submit to you that you are going to have those unexpected storms that we sung about this morning. Yes. But in those times of difficulty, you have to have God. Yes. You have to have faith. Yes. Let me show you the two things I showed them, and I promise I'll quit. This family, this was a family that failed God. They failed God because they failed to pray. In verse number 1 and verse number 2, it tells us about the sad situation, the difficult hour that they live in. And the Bible says in verse number 2 that they leave Bethlehem, Judah, and they go into Moab. It is a picture of someone leaving God, leaving God's place, leaving God's house, and going to the world. I have told you on more than one occasion that we can tell as much about a passage of Scripture by what sometimes we don't read as what we can by what we do read. And there's something that I find missing in these verses. I find that it is absent in our text. Maybe I'm wrong and you can show it to me after service, but I cannot find one place in this text when they made this decision to leave God and leave God's house. I cannot find one place where they ever prayed about this decision. I don't read where Elimelech and Naomi prayed about leaving Bethlehem and going to Moab. I don't read where they got each other by the hand and they came to an altar like so many did this morning and they prayed together about the financial difficulty that they faced. I don't read where they got down beside their beds and prayed at night about their two children that were unhealthy. The reason I don't think I read that they prayed about these situations is because I do not think they prayed about these situations. They decided to face it alone and they decided to face it in their own strength. And it cost them dearly because they never ran to God about their situations. Yes. Amen. Oh, I'm certain you're going to face something. And I'm certain there may be somebody who is facing something. Can I ask you a question this morning? When is the last time that you prayed about that thing that you're going through? Amen. I'm not talking about praying that two-second prayer before you eat. God, thank you for this food and help this thing that I'm going through. Amen in Jesus' name. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when's the last time that you really and truly had communion with God. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God loves you and God cares about you. And God is able to help you. But you're going to have to talk to Him about it every once in a while. They failed to pray. Not only did they fail to pray, they forsook their place. Verse number 2 says they left Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab. According to verse number 1, they were in the house of God. They were good people, godly people. But because of difficulties, they made the worst decision they could make. They left the house of God, the house of praise, and they went to the world. Jesus tells us a story in the book of Luke of a prodigal son. This is the story of a prodigal family. Who, when famine and trouble comes, they leave God's house and they go to the world. I felt like this is what I wanted to say. And I'll be sensitive at the time. When the devil comes into your life in those times of trials and temptation, and he whispers in your ear, there's no sense in going on. There's no reason to go back. You might as well throw in the towel. You are done. It is done. Give up. Can I say that one of the worst mistakes you could make is leave God?
Amen.
I promise you that you do not stand a chance away from God.
That's right.
Lord, have mercy. Since I've pastored this church for the past 4 years, I can't tell you how many people that I've had come to me and tell me about a struggle, a trial, a difficulty. And I want to help them with that, and I want to give them counsel about that. But my first recommendation is always the same. No matter how it goes, no matter how it turns out, the worst thing you can do is leave God.
Amen.
Don't leave the church. Don't leave God's house. This family left God and they left God's house. And you say, what did they gain by doing that? I'll tell you what they gained. Brother David, before chapter 1 is over, Elimelech dies in a strange country. Mahlon and Chilion marry two women that they should not have married. And they also die in a strange country. Naomi, whose name means pleasant, by the time the chapter is over, she is so depressed and she is so despondent. When she finally does come back to Bethlehem, Judah, and they say, "Is that Naomi?" She said, "Do not call me any longer Naomi, but call me Mara, because God took me out full and He brought me back empty. I am depressed. I am despondent. I am broken. I am bitter." She said, that's what Mara means. It means bitter. She said, "I am bitter. I left God and I never should have left God. And because I left God when I shouldn't have left God, it turned me into somebody that I wasn't. It turned me into somebody who I wasn't. If I'd have never left God, I wouldn't be Mara. I could still be Naomi. But God taught her something and changed her out there. The world wrung her out to dry. It took her joy. It took her hope. It took her song. And it made her something that she wasn't."
Amen.
That world doesn't have anything for you, friend. And the Bible says, when they decided that they would leave God's house, they did it like most Baptists do it. Brother Scott, they did not intend on staying in Moab. Elimelech didn't plan to die there. He never dreamed his headstone would be in a strange country. They never dreamed of Mahlon and Chilion marrying and dying in Moab. They never planned on that. Here's what they planned on. They just planned on missing next Sunday. You say, "Well, how do you see that in the text?" It's right here. The Bible says they went to sojourn in the land of Moab. You know what that word sojourn means? It means they didn't plan on staying there for a very long length of time. They just planned on missing here and there until things changed, until the situation got better. They just planned on missing just maybe once. But do you know what the Scripture tells us? The Scripture says they went to sojourn, but they wound up staying there for 10 years.
Yeah.
"We're just going to go and we'll be right back." They probably didn't even change their mailing address. "We're coming right back. Preacher, we're not leaving the church. We just ain't going to be there next Sunday." But you see, the reality is this. Nobody ever means to spend the next 10 years in the world in Moab. They just miss every once in a while. And before they realize it, it's been 10 years in a strange land.
Amen.
And here's the thing. They left Bethlehem, Judah. They left God's house because they thought they could find help somewhere else. They didn't think there would be any help in Bethlehem, Judah. Do you know what the Scripture says? Scripture says in verse number 5, 6, somewhere around in there, Naomi gets word. And do you know what the word is? The word is that God has visited His people in Bethlehem, Judah, and He's given them bread. The very thing she left Bethlehem, Judah for. God had visited Bethlehem, Judah, and gave them bread. So what that means is this. They left God and they left God's house because of a trouble and a trial in their life. They thought it was better off. They might as well be in the world. But what they found instead of bread in Moab is they found a grave in Moab. And while God is planting graves in a strange land, He's also over here in Bethlehem helping those that stayed in God's house. I'll take my chances in Bethlehem, Judah. I'll take my chances in God's house. Oh, you better believe there's been times where the devil has told me, "You might as well give up." I'd be lying to you if I said anything other than that. But you know what? I'd rather stay in Bethlehem, Judah, than them plant my headstone in the strange country. Because who knows? One Sunday we might roll into church like we did this morning and God start handing out heavenly loaves of bread. I'll take my chances here. There may be warm, fresh bread from the oven of heaven, and I'd miss it if I was out in the world.
Amen.
I'd rather stay where there's a chance of bread than them bury me out there. I wonder, as we bow our heads and we close our eyes, Lord, have mercy. I said all that to say this. You better not leave God.
Amen.
I didn't want to preach. I tried my best to tell God that I didn't want to preach. But He said, you give them a warning. Don't leave God.